morning. We come together to call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Psalm 18:3. All are sincerely welcome to this service of worship and praise. My name is Chastity Jones, and I am a member of the Zion Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio and to all who join us online through our website, zionlysewer.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so our pastor can connect with you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn it into the ushers during passing of the peace. The radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Zion members and friends. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. We welcome Pastor Jeannie Bringold Pro to lead us in worship today. A reminder of new office hours, Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. and 1 p.m. to 3:30 p.m., and Fridays by appointment. Thank you to everyone that has donated school supplies to the food shelf. We have been able to help many families and are blessed to see what a difference it makes in their lives. The 156th anniversary Adresseville and Tyrone Evangelical Church's Labor Day service of worship and picnic on Monday, September 7th, 2026 at 11 a.m. with potluck lunch following the service. This will take place at Salem Historic Church, 26089 320th Street, Lee Sewer. A free will offering will be taken, and everyone is invited to bring a dish to pass, table service, tables, and chairs. The Zion Bell and Adult Choirs are recruiting members to join the fun. If you are interested, please contact Pastor Susan. Rehearsals begin on September 9th. On Sunday, September 13th, the members of Zion who have reached the age of 90 and older will be honored and celebrated. Please mark this date on the calendar and plan to join the members of Zion in worship. Reminder, Fusion begins on September 30th right after school. If you have any questions or still need to register, contact Jackie Brown. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship and service. Now let us prepare for worship.
Who do you think you are? Are you your past? Your failures? Your heartache? Your sin? Are you your job? Your relationships? Your possessions? Your successes? Today, you can decide to not be consumed by your failure or defined by your success, but be transformed by Jesus, a new creation, made for His glory, equipped for His work, set on His path. The old is gone. The new has come. So the next time someone asks, "Who do you think you are?" you can answer with confidence, "I am forgiven. I am valuable. I am loved. I am made new because I am His."
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. It It's from Psalm 105. O give thanks to the Lord, call on his name.
Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wonderful works.
Glory in his holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. See his presence continually.
Remember the wonderful works he has done,
his miracles and the judgments he uttered. Now, while remaining standing, please join in the hymn, Awake, Awake to Love and Work.
From January and February. I was here doing some pulpit supply for you then, and I'm delighted to be asked back to do it again. I like it here a lot. I just thought I've been asked to give you kind of a brief biographical sketch, just so you kind of know who I am. I had kind of an interesting road to becoming a pastor. For 25 years, before I became a pastor, I was a divorce lawyer. Oh, goodness gracious. Can you really, 25 years of listening to people's misery? I was so grateful to become a pastor finally, where I could do something a little bit more uplifting, if you know what I mean. And let me tell you, it's a lot more fun to marry people than divorce them. Much more fun. But anyway, I am originally from Minnesota. I grew up in Cannon Falls. Halfway between Rochester and the cities. And I went to law school in Washington, D.C., and then practiced law for 25 years. And then when I got to be 50, I decided I wanted to be a pastor. So I went to United Theological Seminary in the Twin Cities and graduated from there in 2009. And then I served two small churches out by Litchfield. I preached twice every Sunday, and I was there for 10 and a half years, so I figure I've got 21 years of preaching experience since I preached twice every Sunday. But anyway, I retired about 6 years ago, and so here I am this morning with you, and it's a delight to be here. All right, so let us proceed. Please join me in the prayer of confession that is printed in your bulletin. Heavenly Father, I surrender all guilt and shame to you. Cleanse my conscience and free me from the burden of past mistakes. Let your Spirit bring peace to my heart so I can serve you without fear or condemnation. Amen. Receive the assurance of pardon. Now return to the Lord with joy and gladness. Sing a song of redemption. Let sorrow and sighing be no more. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Please stand.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was is the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. And now let's share the peace of the Lord one with another. Brian. You know, I just love the way you people share the peace. You don't just turn around to the person behind you and go, "Peace be with you." You get out there and you welcome everybody, and I just love that. I think that's wonderful. Keep it up. All right, let us be in a spirit of prayer. This prayer this morning is written by Kate Bowler and Jessica Ritchie, and it's called "For This Overwhelming Day." And I think we all feel overwhelmed at times. God, I'm trying to juggle too much, but I don't know what else to do. or who else will keep everything in the air if not for me? Blessed are we who say, Jesus, I'm taking you at your word. I'm coming to you just as I am, burnt out, craving rest, but still tempted to keep going like I always do, propelled from one task to the next, as if the earth spins because I do. But I know deep down that this is unsustainable. Blessed are we, quietly closing the door, willing to fold ourselves into this present moment. Slow me down, God. Place your hand upon me and steady the racing of my heart. Take this weight from my shoulders and pry these to-dos from my fingers. Deepen my breath and still my mind so that I can remember whose hands really do keep the stars hung in space. I know by my body's limits and the clock's relentless ticking that not everything has to be done, and not everything has to be done by me. Blessed am I, beginning to realize that my edges as well as my gifts can shape the natural contours of what is mine to hold and mine to do. God will take care of all that you can't, dear one, and you too. Amen. And this morning we hold in prayer John Love, and we pray for healing for him this morning. And we also issue a happy birthday to Lucy Tupi, who's had us a birthday tomorrow. So we hold those folks in prayer as well. Now, let us say together the prayer that our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we will now have our scripture readings.
This morning's scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God add a special blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word. Amen.
Gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've given my sermon this morning the title True Love. I know that everyone loves a great love story, don't we? But I think we make a mistake if we assume that love is nothing more than an emotion. We love our spouse, or our grandchildren. Sometimes we even say that we love sweet corn or lobster. I certainly love my husband and my sister and our grandchildren. But true love, as described in today's scripture, is actually about practical discipleship and overcoming evil with good. We're instructed how to show sincere love, humility, and hospitality. We're to bless our persecutors and live peacefully. We're to do this even if our emotions don't catch up. Because true love is all about behavior, not just feelings. Have you ever thought about the legacy you want to leave when you die? As I said, I used to practice law, and I've written many wills. During those discussions, my clients and I would discuss the nature of their property and what they wanted to have happen to it. Today's reading from Romans is all about the legacy of our lives, except it isn't about writing a will. It's all about how we are supposed to live our lives. Do you want to live a life that's based on the world and its possessions and sinful nature? Or do you want to leave a legacy based on a life of service to God? The most important thing on the checklist should be authentic Christian love. And our scripture shows us how to show love in practical ways. Love clings to what is good and hates evil. The most important characteristic of love is sincerity. If love isn't sincere, it's merely manipulation and competition. There is no room for this because love and truth go hand in hand. When we love people, we're supposed to show devoted affection. This could be difficult when we disagree, but it's important that we love people with the love that we have for our family members. We must make the effort because the human race is our family, and family bonds must not be broken. We must also show honor to other people. This means that we should let others have their way in things that are not essential. If we disagree, we should treat the opinions of others with concern and respect. This is especially difficult in these divided political times. It's very hard to disagree strongly with others. But Scripture tells us that we must show each other a dignified response. As I said, I'm a lawyer, and I have to be very careful when I'm discussing things with others. I have a very argumentative side. If you carry on a conversation with me, you'll very quickly learn that I like to persuade people, right? I have a tendency to try to sway the opinions of other people. If the issue is not essential, I need to learn to let it go. I need to show respect for others and not get them to come over to my side. Love also requires that we have enthusiasm and passion. We can only do the right things for others if we're excited about it. We must have great passion in loving and serving God. Our passion should be boundless. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to behave like people in Pentecostal churches or the Salvation Army. You don't need to act like the charismatics, jumping up and down and yelling amen. In fact, if you did that here at Zion, the ushers might escort you out of the sanctuary. But when we serve God, it should be with passion. Let your excitement show. Don't just sit on your hands. Get excited, right? We're talking about God's love. That's something to be excited about. We're also supposed to be patient. Boy, is this a tough nut for me to crack. This is very hard for me because I think and move a lot faster than my husband, John, who's sitting in the front row here. He is a much more methodical engineer. You know, he goes from step A to step B to step C. And I am much more impulsive, right? When I ask him to do something, I expect he's going to do it right away, right? But he doesn't. He frequently does other things first that he thinks are more important. Now, it can be very difficult to be patient in times of trial and difficulties. But love means fulfilling obligations and receiving blessings when we are discouraged. This is when prayer becomes absolutely essential. In the hard times, prayer sustains us. It's a real lifeline in times of difficulty. Love also shows itself in generosity. It means sharing our time, talent, and treasure. So often when we speak of generosity, we think of our financial resources. You know, when I think of giving to the church in terms of generosity, I'm always reminded of my first Sunday serving St. Matthew's United Church of Christ outside of Litchfield. And my husband and I were in the church office, and he was helping me get my robe on like he does. And we were joined by the church secretary. Now, Glenda, the church secretary, was a very formidable woman. In fact, she was a police officer. So when she gave an order, she expected it to be followed. Okay? And what did she say to me that morning as I was going out there for the first time? Don't ever talk about money. Don't ever talk about money. But you know, being generous is a lot more than just out of our pocketbooks. Of course, giving our material wealth is critical to supporting Zion, but there are many other ways to give to the church. Your talent can be shared by serving on a committee or worship team. Maybe you can be an usher. You're searching for a new pastor. Maybe you can help with that process. Because remember, God loves a cheerful giver. Try to think of ways you can give your time and talent to the church. Try to think of ways that you can do that so you can help to share the suffering of our fellow human beings, even when our circumstances are different. The way we use our resources can be the means of blessing or cursing, the instruments of good and evil. Because our resources are not our personal possessions, as much as we'd like to believe that. Our possessions are gracious gifts from God, and they should be used to God's glory. Now, closely tied in with generosity is hospitality. The original meaning of the word hospitality is loving strangers. It means showing love to those who are different from us in race, nationality, creed, or belief. Love actively looks for opportunities to serve others. A good example of hospitality were the actions of many people in the Canadian Maritime Provinces after the events of 9/11. When airports were shut down, many Canadians showed travelers love and concern. We are called to care for immigrants and other people in crisis. We must not ask too many questions. We should just show love. American monk Thomas Merton put it this way: our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. Also tied in with generosity and hospitality is graciousness. This is the most difficult part of love to carry out. Graciousness means that we don't return evil for evil. We're always to show grace. That is a unique characteristic of a godly person, since grace can only come from God. True love also means showing compassion, sympathy, and empathy. It means that we should rejoice with those who rejoice and grieve with others when others grieve. Jesus was constantly moved by compassion. He healed the sick, he comforted those who mourned, and he fed 5,000 hungry people. He was willing to do whatever he could to stop people from hurting, including going to the cross. He was willing to die to stop our pain from sin. He gave us a way to receive God's grace and eternal life. We are called to affirm each other's need for approval. When someone succeeds, we're to rejoice. We're also called to show humility. Even if our viewpoints and approaches are different, we should work toward the same goals. Most of the time, love must be tender, compassionate, and understanding. However, there are times when love must be tough and unbending. Any of you who are parents understand tough love, right? Tough love is important. This is always true when we are speaking the truth of God's word. A huge part of true love is forgiveness. This is another area where I confess that I need work. When we're hurt, it can be very hard to forgive, but we must do it. It helps me forgive when I realize that the person who hurt me is just a fallible human being, like I am. It's easy to hold grudges, but they actually drag us down. God's love flows freely when we forgive. It's always good to get rid of bitterness and resentment. We're told to bless those who persecute us. We are to pray for those who abuse us. This is how Jesus loved, and we are to do the same. But I am sure some of you are thinking, Jean, you're asking too much. How can I pray for those who hurt me? It's only natural to seek revenge, but we must leave punishment to God. I'm not sure how God will handle most of these situations, but ultimately it is out of our hands. We should not curse our enemies. I'm also guilty of this sometimes, but it just shows that I need work on developing a godly character. We're called to speak well of those who have wronged us. We have to look beyond our hurt to see what good we can do for the person who hurt us. We must not seek revenge. When we encounter verbal attacks, slander, or dirty practices, we must rise above them and seek to do what is fair and decent. So how should we react when we encounter difficult people? First, we are to realize that we can't please everyone, right? I'm a people pleaser. I want everyone to be happy. But that's not possible, right? Second, we should learn to say no to unrealistic expectations. It's perfectly okay to say no if someone asks too much of you. Third, we should never retaliate. Finally, and fourth, we should pray for them. If we return evil with good, we show our faith in God. We prove that God is playing a role in the world. Remember what it says in Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? So our scripture today tells us how we live our lives. The old rules don't apply anymore. It will take some getting used to because much of this goes against our human nature. We're to tame our egos and show Christian love to others. We're to stop thinking about ourselves and to love genuinely. When we show true love, we show our faith in God. That is the very best legacy to leave behind. As World War II hero Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than about courageously and actively doing God's will. So let us actively show true love in our lives. Amen. And now we will receive our morning offering. The benediction. May the Lord, mighty God, bless and keep you forever. Grant you peace, perfect peace, courage in every endeavor. Lift up your eyes and see his face and his grace forever. May the Lord, mighty God, bless and keep you forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our closing hymn is Jesus, I Live to You, page 457. Serve the Lord.